we like to talk about how important the Word of God is to us in our Christian life, and we know that as Christians, God tries to preserve His Word within our hearts because He wants us to be able, as believers, He wants us to be able to pass it down from generation to generation to generation. At one time, there probably wasn't a lot of Bibles in circulation, so it was the Word that was instilled within the hearts of the Christians is how that Word was able to be passed down. In today's time, God still would like to preserve that Word within our heart because there's becoming so many different translations and so many different interpretations that I think a lot of times the true meaning of what God's Word is all about gets lost in a lot of these translations. And of course, the true meaning of the Word of God is all about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So He wants everybody to have the opportunity to read the Word of God. He wants everybody to have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. And He wants everybody to have the opportunity to apply that Word to their lives. Now, when we're able to apply that Word to our lives, then we're also able to, by example, to apply God's Word to the lives of others as well. So those who keep the Word of God are, first of all, they're the ones who really love it. They like to read it. They like to study it. They like to meditate on it. And they're obedient to it. That's one of the greatest aspects of the Word of God. So this is God's way of preserving everything that He has in store for mankind. This is all part of His purpose and His plan, and it all started back with the creation of the Adam and Eve, and it'll continue on clear on through to till we get into the new heaven and the new earth. So that means everything in our life, every controversy, every issue, every subject, every action, everything in our life, if you want to know the truth about what is going on in your life, look at it from God's perspective. And the only way that you can look at it from God's perspective is to look at it through the Word of God, because it's God's Word that gives you His perspective on everything in life. So that means that He has laid out in His Word every guideline, every answer to every question, everything that you'll ever need in life. God has laid it out in His Word. You'll find it when you start to become wholly devoted unto it. So I'm just going to tell you three things this morning, and I jotted them down. Three reasons why a lot of times we and mankind or humanity, three reasons why sometimes we cannot find God's perspective in our life. And the first one is we're not really interested in looking for it. That would be the first reason. Now, the second reason is when we go to look for the perspective of what God has for us to do in our life, we look for it everywhere but the Bible. So that means we're looking for it in all the wrong places. And the third reason is that and these are just my reasonings, that we cannot find God's perspective in our life is because we know that if we do find it, we would be in trouble because we're not living by it. So those are three reasons that we need to look at in our life when we can't figure out what it is that God has for us to do in our life. So how important is it to preserve the Word of God? It's very important. If you remember, you go, this will be a question you can go back and look up in your spare time. At one point in time, the Word of God was hidden and wasn't available. And the only way that they had to teach it or to preach it was through what they had preserved within their heart. So it's very important that we preserve the Word of God within our hearts. Now, one of the other reasons is that it's very important that we preserve the Word of God within us is because we live in a world that's dominated by a lot of pridefulness. So that means that everybody out there has a thought and has an opinion about everything that is going on, and these thoughts and opinions have nothing to do with the Word of God. So we have to be very careful, because there's a lot of you don't hear the word salvation much anymore. You don't hear the word Christianity much anymore. Some of these other things, but you do hear the word religious a lot. About how religious the world has become. Well, I can tell you, religion is nothing but a compromising position in your life, and usually it has nothing to do with the Word of God or God's perspective for our life. That's what religion is all about. It gives you no clear definition of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need in our life today. We need a clear definition of the doctrine of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Not the doctrine that your church has that you live by. Not the doctrine that some preacher or some teacher or evangelist has that you live by. But the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So if we possess the Word of God, then we have in our possession those things that were inspired by God Himself, and He preserved specifically for us to live by in our life. So in the book of Psalm 119, starting with verse 92, we're going to read down through a few verses here. Psalms 119, starting with verse 92. And he says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my own affliction." So when he's talking about the law, when David talks about the law here in the book of Psalms, he's talking about the Word of God, because back then that they referred to it as the law. So he said, unless I had the Word of God, I would have perished in my own turmoil or in my own afflictions. And then he goes on to say, "I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but my commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I the law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, a lot of times David would get discouraged and get down, and this is how that he was able to lift himself up, was by talking to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him. And of course, the way he done it, he said, was through the Word of God. Here at one time, he said, "I've seen an end of all perfections." How many times have people in their life said, "I've seen everything now"? in another week something else will happen and you'll say it again. I've seen everything now. We'll never see the end of everything. But he said, when I did, he said, I made sure that I turned to the Word of God. God has provided us with His Word because He wants to teach us. Every day He wants to give us guidance. He wants to direct our lives. He wants to direct the actions, and He wants us to direct them into a way that is pleasing unto Him. If we do things that are pleasing unto the Lord, they most certainly will be pleasing unto ourselves. So He has done this because He wants us to have a foundation to build our lives upon, and that foundation is the Word of God. The Bible says Christ is that foundation, and Christ is the Word of God. So when we finally decide to make that commitment to God's Word, and it's a big commitment to make, because there's a lot of other things when you come in of an evening, the first obstacle that we have to overcome to make the commitment to the Word of God is, first of all, leave the TV remote alone and get off the internet. That's the first big obstacle that we have to overcome. To make this commitment to study and to read the Word of God. Now, God wants us to understand that His Word just isn't a bunch of written letters, but it is the very characteristic of God Himself. That's what His Word is all about, because it is all about His only begotten Son. So the Scriptures that we have are a reflection of the essence of the holiness of God. That's the Word of God that we have, the Scripture that we have. Therefore, if we study the Word of God, if we meditate upon the Word of God, then He will show us that it is sufficient to make us wise so that we might be able to do every good work that He has for us to do. This is what the Word of God is all about. So I'm going to go down through this morning just quickly, and I'm going to give you a few verses that talks about the importance of what the Word of God is all about and how important our spiritual preservation in Christ is. And it all comes because of the Word of God. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll just quickly go down through a few verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And the first thing that we learn here is, if you want the Word of God to be your preservation, He says, "Ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither ye shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you." So, sadly, the fallen nature of man is that we try to improve upon something that God has given us that is perfect to start with and doesn't need any improving. So we're instructed to, He says, keep the Word of God, don't add nothing to it, and don't take anything away from it. It's perfect the way it is. So in our hearts, as we read and we begin to study, if you don't understand something in the Word of God, and here's where we a lot of times fall short in our life, is if man doesn't understand something in the Word of God, they either take something away from it or they add something to it and say, now I can better understand it. No, you've just created something to fit your need. And that's not what it's all about. everything that God has given us will already fit our need. If we don't understand it, then we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to give us some understanding about it. Now, over in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 13, and I really like this one. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Traditions have been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. And all this must be right because my great-great-great-great-grandmother said this is so. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things that ye do. Most traditions are petty and they're man-made, and none of them have to do anything with honoring God. And most of the time, these traditional things that we follow are... Everybody in the world today, especially if you're online very much, everybody in the world today wants to have some kind of profound saying. Something that is just life-changing. And it's so amazing to see what people put on there, and they'll just get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments about all that whatever it is that you came up with. That just changed my life forever. It probably changed it in the wrong way. It probably took it in a direction that was totally away from God. And this is what a lot of times traditional things do to our life. If you back up in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 8, he says, and these are all really good scriptures if we study it. He says, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, we learn this through a lot of worldly, religious, traditional things that are going on. And one of the things that we've got to understand, and Christ was trying to explain this to his disciples here, just because you follow after something that has been done year after year after year after year does not give you an exemption to be disobedient to the Word of God. Does not. So, going through the motions of some kind of religion, saying the right things at the right time so people will think that you're holier than thou. That's one of Gigi's phrases. Does not mean that you're following after or being obedient to the commandments of God. This will not preserve our life in Christ. Now, if we go over into the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, and these are all familiar scriptures. A lot of times we read over them and we just pass over them quickly and we don't stop to get some understanding out of them. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's right. Now, you'll find out that a lot of scripture is rewritten by inspiration of man, and those are scriptures that you want to stay away from. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and here's what it's probably. He said it is profitable for these things. The first one he says, it is profitable for doctrine. That salvation. That's what doctrine here means. Salvation. It is doctrinable. It is profitable for reproof. sanctification. It is profitable for correction, that's spiritual growth in our life, and it is profitable for instruction in righteousness, and that means understanding from God. That's where righteousness comes from. So the Spirit of God that we must be obedient to, we must allow it to dwell within us, the Bible says, dwell within us richly, and we must be able to accurately, and we can only accurately be a reflection of the goodness of God's Word. Now remember, when you're telling somebody about the Word of God, this is why it's very important to know the Word, to have Scripture to go along with whatever you're telling, because when you're talking to somebody about the Word of God, you're talking to them about the character of God. And it would be awful to go out and talk to somebody about the character of God and do it in a negative way. You don't like anybody talking about you in a negative way. Certainly, we shouldn't be talking about God in a negative way. So he said, here is what it's profitable for. Here's the thing. If you want to talk about something to somebody, you talk to them about, first of all, redemption, which comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. You talk to them about justification, which is the doctrine of the salvation. You talk to them about reproof, which is sanctification. And then you talk to them about their spiritual growth, which is their correction and the instruction that comes from God. And then you talk to them about what one day will be glorification. Redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification. You won't go wrong talking to somebody about those four things, because you are talking to them about the characteristics of God. And those are the things that we need to talk about, because those are the things that the world desperately needs to hear. Back in the book of Psalm 119, then we're going to back up into verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in heaven. Christ came to the earth, the Holy Spirit dwells upon the earth. Christ now sits back at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit resides everywhere. Everything that we have in this book, this inspired word that God has given us, everything that we have is settled in heaven, which means God's word is eternal. It's been from the beginning, and it'll continue on through eternity present. In Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass." We have that promise from God. Trusting in the Word of God is much wiser than trusting in the world. Because this world, one of these days, will be gone. It'll pass. But the Word of God will never pass. And knowing that this world is not going to last, it should motivate us to learn God's perspective and share it with others. That should be our motivation. One of these days, this is going to be gone. That should give us motivation to be able to talk to somebody else about being obedient to the Word of God, which is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter We'll hurry on down through these. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and without blame. Everybody has an urgency in their life to do something. We're always in a hurry to do something. All the time. The urgency that we have as Christians should be an urgency. The Bible says there's two things that we should be doing as Christians, and we should be doing it in a way that it takes precedence over everything else. And that's, first of all, is we're to give warning to each other, to the body of Christ, that we've got to look out for the false things that are going on in the world. The false teachers, the false preachers, all the false religions, everything. That's got to be one of the things that we need to be warning people about in our spiritual or in our Christian life, because all of these things are trying to take the body of Christ, and the Bible says, make it of none effect. And we don't want the body of Christ to be none effect. The second thing that should be a great urgency in our life is to tell those, all of humanity, about the consequences of dying in a sinful state without receiving the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Those two things, if you're going to be in a hurry about something, those are the two things you should be in a hurry about. But you cannot be aware of the false religions if you don't study the Word of God and allow God to show you what they are. You cannot have the urgency to tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ if you don't understand it yourself. So there's two things that we should have an urgency for in our life. Things that we should be willing and wanting to do for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back in the book of Psalm, the 12th Psalm, verses 6 and 7. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever." The commandment that God gives unto mankind. Why do you think we're given commandments like this in the Bible? It's because humanity tends to twist the truth of God's Word to fit the situation that they're living in their life. So now, all of the things that are going on in the world today that are disobedient to God, we're using the Word of God to say it's okay. This isn't pleasing to God. So that means all these deceptive words, all these slanderous phrases, they're all lies that have been created to try to make a division in the body of Christ. So why do you think back in Paul's days when he went around and all these little churches, the Church of Sardis, the Church of Ephesus, the Church of Corinth, all these churches, he never did give one of them a title. There's not a Baptist, there's not a Presbyterian, there's not a Catholic, there's not a Pentecostal. Why is that? Because these are all things that man has created, that God has allowed, but they're all things that are bringing division in the body of Christ. And God never intended for this to be. So man does all these things and still turns around and prays for God to save us from all these things. You can't do both. You cannot have both in your life. So why, a lot of people will ask, well, why does God allow all the wickedness to go on in the world? Why does He allow things like this to happen? Because in the end, there'll be a great demonstration of His mercy and grace towards all these things that are going on. So He uses this because He desires that all men will repent and be saved. And the only way that He can get His point across is to allow these things to take place and then come in and show forth His grace and mercy as a demonstration when He overcomes these things that are going on in the world today. So in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 18, He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till everything is fulfilled." Now, what's that one jot and one tittle? That means the smallest of details that a lot of times we overlook when we're reading and studying the Word of God. Those smallest of details that we overlook, God says, "I'll fulfill them." That's why it's so important to go back and study everything that God has in store for us in His Word. That's why Christ said, "It's not I that live," or Paul said, "It's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me." And that's how we are to live our life down here upon this earth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Says, "For the prophecy," or this word of God, "came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, as far as I know, this hasn't happened since we've gotten what we've got as the Bible as we know it. So all of these people in today's time and going on until the Lord returns that puts out all these books and says these are prophecies that God has given to me through the Holy Spirit so that we might write them down and give them to everybody else to study, I would have to say stay away from those things. Because once this was written, God said this is all you need. Now, He might give us more one of these days. When we go on to be with Him, there might be lots more that He gives us. But for now, the scriptures that we have are the words of God that concern the actions and the characteristics of God. And we must understand that everything that God is going to do, that He sets forth in this word, He will accomplish it. He doesn't need us to write anything else for Him. He'll accomplish what He has set out to do. Now, what's the Word of God all about? from the very beginning, clear through to the end, it points to one thing, and that's a Messiah, Christ. One, the Bible says, who will save the world from their sins. Where did that come? That Mary was told that. One who would save the world from their sins, and then one day will return as a judge and a king. So this inspired word that we have, that was given so that all of humanity could be saved by grace through faith believing in Christ. That's what it's all about. And God has chosen, if He wasn't going to choose you to do something to be a part of His purpose and plan, you'd have never been born on this earth to begin with. So that means God has chosen everyone. And He knows every person from Adam on. He knows every person individually. And He created them so that they might shine forth through His inspired word, and shine forth so that they might show somebody else what salvation is all about. So our eternal preservation comes through Christ by God's word. And that's what it's all about. Being obedient to the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, truly we're thankful for every opportunity that you've given to us, Heavenly Father, to be able to study and to meditate upon your word. We're thankful for wisdom, for knowledge, for the understanding that you give us, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the simplicity of your word that helps us to grow in faith, that helps us to mature spiritually in our life, Heavenly Father, so that we might continue doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing and glorifying unto Thee, Heavenly Father. We're just thankful, Lord, for those that are in service with You, Lord, all over the world today. And we just pray, Lord, that as Your Holy Spirit speaks, Heavenly Father, and moves in many different ways, in many different countries, Lord, in many different cities, that, Lord, the one thing that we want to follow after and share is the importance of the saving grace that you provide through your Son, Jesus Christ. We just ask this day, Lord, that you'll watch over us, that we'll continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance that you give us, Heavenly Father, through your word, and that, Lord, that we'll not forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.